in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the July 29th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Nnamdi, welcome back to the show.
Nice to be back, Sonny.
Nnamdi, former world heavyweight champion Iron Mike Tyson, making headlines with his workout videos. And he's announced he'll be back in the ring in September in Southern California. Tell our VOA boxing fans about that.
Well, they call it the frontline battle. The baddest man on the planet, Iron Mike Tyson against Roy Jones, that's scheduled for the 12th of September, right here in Carson City at the Dignity Health Arena. That is where the LA Galaxy play their soccer games. It's a fight that a lot of folks in the fight game are really, really looking forward to because, one, these two legends are icons, you know. They are power punchers. They can destroy. They can make good fights. Both combined, they have 105 years old. These are two geezers, are old geezers. Tyson is 54. Roy Jones is 51. So we're interested to see what they have left in the tank come September 12th. It's a beautiful venue. And the Boxing Commission has rules that will apply to this fight. First, they're both going to use 12-ounce gloves. Second, they are going to fight with no headgears, and there will be no judges. And at the end of the fight, we may not have a winner. And both have agreed to go into the fight not pressing for the knockouts.
Nnamdi, break down the numbers for this fight. What are Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. getting paid? But why don't you start with the pay-per-view projections?
Sonny, the pay-per-view projection for this fight, frontline battle, it's pretty good, really. We're looking at more than a million buy. Because folks have been missing sports for a long time since the lockdown of COVID in March. We're looking at a million plus buy at least $70 per buy. So you're looking at more than $70 million for pay-per-view. When you throw in foreign TV rights, you're looking at close to another $30 to $40 million. So this fight can generate more than $100 million for an exhibition that is not going to be a real fight. Not only that, the guarantee for each fighter, Roy Jones guaranteed $10 million for 8-round exhibition. Iron Mike Tyson is $15 million guaranteed. That's just on the front end. On the back end, if we see more than 2 million pay-per-view buys, which is still possible, you can tag on another $10 to $15 million. So there's a possibility for this 8-round exhibition, both guys can walk away with close to $25 million apiece, which is not a chicken change.
Definitely not chicken change, Nnamdi, but I'm a little confused about whether this is an exhibition, a real fight. They're going to be using bigger gloves than usual. What kind of fight is this, Nnamdi?
Sonny, the fight is dubbed Frontline Battle. And when I looked at it and I laughed about it because they both agreed there will be no knockout. It's going to be all just boxing, moving and holding and, you know, for 8 rounds. I'm a Nigerian. In Nigeria, we have something called shakara. Shakara is when you threaten somebody. I'm going to do this to you. I'm going to do that to you. RNG is when you both agree to do something that you both know that is not going to really happen. So that's why for me personally, this fight is happening in my backyard. That's why I call it Shakara and RNG fight. The Boxing Commission is in on it. The Boxing Commission has already told the fans and everybody, this is an exhibition. Don't expect these guys to go in there and knock their head off. The boxing commission, the head of the boxing commission, already had a Zoom meeting between Iron Mike Tyson and Roy Jones. Everybody's agreed on everything. If there is a cut, the commission, as I said, the fight will be stopped, you know. So no judges, just a referee. Two guys will dance around for 8 rounds, and they may end up going home with $25 million apiece. And who is a loser, who's a winner, we will know September 12th right here in Carson, California.
Come on, Namdi, let's be realistic. Why would fight fans want to shell out $70 to watch two boxers well past their prime, both over the age of 50, fight an 8-round exhibition?
Good question, Sonny. Why would fight fans pay $70 to watch two old geezers do an exhibition and walk away with all that money? Because we have been starved since the lockdown of COVID-19. We have not seen any real good fight. What we've seen are just not your A-level fighters. And mind you, these are global stars, Iron Mike and Roy Jones. Roy Jones was a former WBA heavyweight champion. Remember that. Iron Mike, knockout artist. So we pay to see, because they've agreed that there's going to be a knockout. What happens if Roy Jones goes into the round one and tags Iron Mike, and Iron Mike said, I thought we agreed for a fight that nobody's going to get knocked out, and Iron Mike explodes and then decides to make it a real fight? There's a chance that can happen, and that's why fight fans are paying to see if Iron Mike can get mad and explode and make it a real fight before the fight goes to the 8th round. But mind you, these guys are old. They may get tired after 4 rounds. That's why we expect to see a knockout, regardless of what was agreed upon before the fight.
Namdi, let's stick with the heavyweight division. Any updates on reigning world heavyweight champion Anthony Joshua?
Sonny, good news for Anthony Joshua fans. You know, dealing with a leg injury. Anthony Joshua will start sparring next week in preparation for his fight against Kubrat Pulev. We don't have a date. The projection is for the fight to happen in November. The Deontay Wilder-Tyson Fury rubber match, the third fight, no date yet. The question is, why was the delay in having these dates locked up? Because we're now in August, basically, and if there's no date for future fights, what's the problem? Well, Sonny, the problem is here. These guys, before COVID-19, these guys were guaranteed some huge amount of money. Take for an example, Anthony Joshua with The Zone. He gets nothing less than $35 million guaranteed per fight, you know. Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury, these guys were guaranteed big money by ESPN and Fox. COVID-19 came and knocked everything out of the window. Now, the networks went back to these fighters to say, okay, let's renegotiate the contract, because we don't have 100,000 people coming to the arena. We don't have no merchandise to sell. We don't have the casinos giving us money. Let's just renegotiate the contract so that we can take less money. The fighters are saying, no, we want what was written in the contract. So that's why, you know, we don't see any date for Anthony Joshua, Kubrat Pulev, or Tyson Fury against Deontay Wilder, or Canelo, or Triple G. All these elite fighters who want to stick to the contract, regardless of what's going on with COVID-19. So we may not see any mega fight in 2020. Any mega fight we should look for in 2021, because the networks and the promoters cannot come up with the money. You cannot get blood from stone.
You cannot get blood from stone. I like that, Namdi. Ghana's former WBO super bantamweight champion Isaac Dogbe on the comeback trail. Last week in Vegas, he stopped American Chris Avalos in the 8th round. Your thoughts, Namdi?
Sonny, I was very impressed with Isaac Dogbe, and I'm very happy for Isaac, because one, Isaac made the changes we've been talking about. One, he has a new trainer in Barry Hunter. He moved up to the featherweight division from super bantamweight. I am very happy for that, because now he doesn't have to make weight. And his dad, Paul Dogbe, has stepped away. And I think it's very important to have to give him kudos for taking his son from nowhere and walking him all the way to the world championship. Not only walking him all the way to the world championship, able to place him with a world-class promoter and fight on TV. He gave his son his blessings, and I think with blessings from his dad, this kid is about to do some great things. And with a new team, I expect him to challenge for the featherweight division, and I expect him to rule the division. And the blessing from his dad will go a long way. Remember, no matter where he goes, be it California, Nevada, Washington, D.C., he must always go back to his dad. The dad started it, and father duo in boxing is not easy.
Namdi, what can you tell us about Isaac Dogbe's new trainer, Barry Hunter?
Sonny, Barry Hunter is a world-class trainer in your backyard. I'm sure you know about Headbangers Boxing Team. And of course, the Bald Eagle Gym in Washington, D.C. He trains both amateurs and professionals, you know. And I'm sure you remember Anthony and Lamont Peterson brothers. He discovered them when they were just 10 years old. And it took Lamont all the way to the world championship. Where he gained my respect was in the fight between Lamont Peterson and Errol Spence. Barry Hunter saw that his fighter, Lamont Peterson, with his belt, was in deep trouble. He stepped in and stopped the fight. At that point, I said, yes, this world-class trainer knows when to stop it and come back and fight another day. So he's going to bring a lot to the repertoire of Isaac Dogbe, and he will know when to stop it if Dogbe just goes out there and just decides to just go bang to bang. So Barry Hunter is the best thing to happen to Isaac Dogbe. You talked about father-son duo in boxing. It's a mixed bag. The first one we really, really looked at was Floyd Mayweather Jr. and Floyd Mayweather Sr. Floyd Mayweather Sr. discovered his son, Floyd Mayweather Jr., and brought him up, and they fell out, and his uncle, Roger Black Mamba Mayweather, former world champion, stepped in and polished him, and Roger got sick, and Roger passed recently. Floyd Mayweather Sr. came back and worked with his son. Then we have Chris Eubank in the UK with his son, Chris Eubank Jr., who is the WBA interim welterweight champion. Danny Garcia and Angel Garcia, who's elite welterweight. The famous Roy Jones and his dad. At the end, it never works out because the dad has a different agenda. The son has a different agenda. Then you have the people in between trying to go between them. And the dad, it becomes very painful. So it's not advisable. If it works, it's good. But if it does not work, it leaves a lot of bitterness in the end. And I don't advise it. I prefer the father step away, allow a new trainer come in. Then the son can breed. Then the son can perform to his own expectation, not to his father's expectation.
Finally, Namdi, the boxing world recently lost a champion fighter from Ghana and a top trainer from here in the USA. Let's pay tribute to these two men, Namdi.
Sonny, very sad situation. Alfred Cote, at the age of 52, died a terrible, lonely, and silent death in Bronx, New York, at the age of 52. Mind you, this is a former WBO bantamweight champion who won the title in 1994. A graduate of Buchan School of Boxing in Central Accra. 88 Olympian. Defending his title only two times. The second part of his career was sad. He was used as a gatekeeper, and he took lots of punishment. He died alone. No managers that made money, no promoters that made money. He was abandoned. Very, very sad situation. It's a lesson for any young African fighter who plans to go to Europe or come to America. Very important to put together a good team that will be there for you all the way to the end. Rest in peace, the Cobra, Alfred Cote. The boxing world lost a great trainer in brother Nassim Richardson, highly respected figure in boxing. And he's out of Philadelphia. When you talk about the Philly fighters, you talk about a great trainer like brother Nassim. A very demanding trainer from the old school. Very selective of who he wants to work with in terms of having boxers. Bernard Hopkins, he worked with Shane Mosley. He brought out the best in these two great fighters. Rest in peace, brother Nassim Richardson, who left us at a very young age of 55.
Nice remembrance there, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta.
Hello, listeners. My name is Juma Miro, the Commonwealth Games bronze medalist in Australia 2018. Listen to Southern Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscast. Every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
I'm Kendra Harrison. I'm the 100 hurdle world record holder for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
The Athletics Integrity Unit recently suspended, or provisionally suspended, four Kenyan runners for whereabouts violations or testing positive for performance-enhancing drugs. I asked our longtime athletics reporter, the energetic Andy Edwards, to pour another cup of tea at his home in North London and reflect on whether doping is widespread in Kenya athletics. Sporty greetings from Washington, Andy.
Greetings from London, Sonny. 25 years ago, when the question of whether elite Kenyans or East African runners in general were taking performance-enhancing drugs came up for discussion among journalists covering track and field athletics, as well as road running, this was my response. If you mean on a widespread level, I doubt that very much. I also would have said, and still say now, that it's going to be impossible to eradicate the problem of drug taking in sport completely. Not just athletics, but I mean the potential for drug use at the top level in any sport. And I emphasize this word completely. But by having a stringent system of testing and punitive measures, much can be done to reduce it. It's like tax dodging. There will always be those who try it, but if more get caught, fewer might try it. Now my answer has taken a different perspective. Although I still believe that the Kenyan men and women we see achieving such great feats on the track and the road have great talent. Those who rise to the top, that is, are able to come through a tough system where only the best survive to earn a living from running, join running camps, and earn sums which transform the lives of themselves and their families, possess great talent. It is a talent developed, in my view, through lifestyles over centuries. Daily toil, hard, physical work, herding cattle over long distances, and sometimes defending their cattle from rustlers. Physicality, ability to endure, developing stamina have been necessary tools for living over centuries. I have never met a Kenyan runner who did not come from what we in Western society would call the country. Here's an example. I remember interviewing Jeffrey Rono in Prague 5 years ago. Now, among the hundreds of elite Kenyans, he's not a big name, but he was emerging on the international scene and also worked full-time as a wildlife ranger in Kenya. He said, "I've been running for 3 years. With experience, I have learned what this means in the Kenyan context. Not running from scratch, but being good enough to have joined a running camp and earn something, however small, from road running." He agreed that his boyhood featured big training, except he and his brothers didn't think of it as such. This is how he explained it. "I come from a polygamous family, and my father would regularly say to us boys, take these cattle to that village, give them to Uncle so-and-so, and bring more cattle back. It would be maybe 26 miles there and back. We would walk and jog all the way, but we didn't think we were training. Now, that's the kind of life which forms potential distance runners without burning young bodies and minds out, with a coach urging practice, practice all the time. Why do I now consider that Kenya definitely has a problem with some elite runners producing positive drug tests? Professional running there has become a way to transform your life, and road running, above all, offers that means. Why road running? Because there are fewer opportunities in track races, simply because the field for, say, 3,000 metres would be limited to 16 runners at most. Also, the commercial visibility of an African track runner for the shoe and sportswear companies is modest, unless they are a big star winning global medals. That is the commercial reality. In a road race, a promoter, if they have enough budget, can stack their half marathon or marathon with 30 or more East Africans, including pacemakers. And taking €500 home will still be worthwhile for a Kenyan. Hence, the temptation is there. And no other sport offers the same pot of gold in Kenya for the highest achievers. I think there's a danger that we athletics journalists only view countries such as Kenya as one big running camp, because that's our perspective day to day. Now, I make no claims to be an expert on Kenyan politics, but I can see from scanning the news that life there can arouse strong feelings, conflict and debate, to put it mildly. In recent years, German TV has done documentaries alleging that drugs are readily available from some local pharmacies in Kenya. Other TV has shown a Kenyan coach allegedly agreeing to warn what he thought was an agent, but actually a journalist, of impending drug tests in return for a fee. These may be isolated incidents, but the number of tests and suspensions are gathering momentum and cannot be ignored. How might this affect public perception of athletics around the world? This might sound surprising, but I wonder if it will have much negative effect at all. Athletics strikes me as unique, since the mass participants, the thousands who run marathons, often for charity, have little or no interest in elite performances and their achievements, unlike amateur footballers, golfers, or cricketers. I know this at first hand, since I have run with many over the past 40 years. The mass road runners care about their own personal bests and what they raised for charity. Some would now recognise Eliud Kipchoge because of his world records shown on TV and performances in London and Berlin, and especially breaking 2 hours in Vienna last October. They'd also recognise Haile Gebrselassie, but the list might end there. In the midst of pandemic and lockdowns, races cancelled around the globe, the general running public are not giving much thought to positive drug tests by Kenyans or anybody else. They want to know when they can run in proper races again. But that doesn't mean that there aren't problems in Kenya or elsewhere, only they may continue to be obscured by economic threats to many events in general. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards in London.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
The Sunny Side of Sports remembers his friend and former Voice of America colleague, Rod Murray, who died on July 23rd at the age of 48. Rod was diagnosed with sickle cell disease when he was only 3 months old, and he fought a brave battle against the disease throughout his life. The National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute describes Rod as a research pioneer who volunteered for clinical trials and wanted to find a cure. His obituary said Rod was the first person in the United States with sickle cell disease to undergo an experimental gene therapy transplant. Rod loved music. He hosted the Hip Hop Connection program on VOA, and he also loved sports. We had more than a few friendly and sporty conversations in our office. Rest in peace, Rod Murray. And that wraps up the July 29th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.